Obama revises his NASA vision to include Mars. Private space companies could generate 11,000 new jobs a year. And airports press the DOT to support higher facilities charges. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Friday, April 16th, 2010. U.S. President Barack Obama visited the Kennedy Space Center yesterday to address what could have been seen as a somewhat hostile crowd. The president's proposed cancellation of the Constellation program will cost Florida jobs, but in his remarks yesterday, he proposed developing the Orion crew capsule, not for routine trips to low Earth orbit, but as an escape vehicle for the International Space Station. He also called for development of a rocket to replace Ares by 2015. He says Ares was 2 years behind and over budget. Regarding manned exploration beyond our own planet and recent criticism from some former astronauts on his new direction for NASA, the president said, quote, "The bottom line is that no one is more committed to human spaceflight than I am, but we've got to do it different," unquote. The Orlando Sentinel reports he stuck to his position that low Earth orbit should be the realm of private companies, but also said he envisions manned spacecraft orbiting Mars by the mid-2030s and manned landings there soon afterward. After his speech, President Obama toured the SpaceX Launch Complex 40, where the company is readying the Falcon 9 heavy-lift rocket for a test of its ability to insert the Dragon cargo module into Earth orbit. SpaceX says the Dragon could be converted into a manned spacecraft fairly easily. A report from the Tauri Group, an independent analytic consulting firm based in Alexandria, Virginia, suggests that the new NASA Commercial Crew and Cargo Program funding in the president's fiscal 2011 budget could result in an average of 11,800 new direct jobs per year over the next 5 years nationwide. The study was commissioned by the Commercial Spaceflight Federation for an objective estimate of jobs resulting from NASA's proposed spending of $5.8 billion on commercial crew and an additional $312 million on commercial cargo from fiscal 2011 to fiscal 2015. The new jobs would come from, quote, "the design and development of capsules to take astronauts to and from the International Space Station, human rating of rockets, upgrades to launch infrastructure at Cape Canaveral, launch vehicle manufacturing, and demonstration launches during the development phase." This is according to Federation President Breton Alexander. The study did not include indirect or induced jobs in the local economies of the communities surrounding this new activity. ACINA, the Airports Council International North America, is lobbying U.S. Transportation Secretary Ray LaHood to support the House language in the FAA reauthorization bill that increases the ceiling for the passenger facility charge from $4.50 to $7. The increase faces stiff opposition from the airlines, who say they're protecting their customers from fees which drive up the cost of flying, something which apparently didn't occur to airline management when adding fees for checked bags and pillows. ACINA President Greg Principato estimates, in his letter to LaHood, that the higher fees would create 40,000 jobs nationwide among airports, construction and building supply companies, and engineering and architectural firms. Quote, "While improving and building the infrastructure necessary to meet the future needs of the national air transportation system," unquote. The charge has been locked at $4.50 for a decade now. Principato says, had it even been indexed to inflation, it would now be at $8.14. Up next on ANN, FlyersRights.org says, keep our bathrooms free. Aspen Avionics names Mark Lee VP of Business Development. And Chuck Glass will head up international training for Piper. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for April 16th. I'm Paul Plack. Kate Hanai's Flyers' Rights Coalition celebrated Tax Day yesterday by calling on Congress to outlaw charges by airlines for carry-on bags. The group is also calling for preemptive legislation which would prohibit charging an added fee for the use of an airline lavatory. in case any airlines serving the U.S. are considering following Ryanair's lead. Ryanair's plan assumes that lavatory use will drop considerably once the charge is imposed, allowing the removal of three of the four restrooms on its 737s, which will allow cramming more of us sardines onto the plane. Ryanair hasn't commented on a backup plan should that one remaining bathroom become unusable. Aspen Avionics has named Mark Lee its new VP of Business Development, responsible for extending the vision and growth of the company, reporting directly to Aspen's president and CEO, John Uzakai. Lee was most recently at Diamond Aircraft as director of marketing and sales for the DJet. Before that, he spent almost 12 years at Microsoft in a variety of product management and other marketing roles, and spent more than 10 years at Nortel in its enterprise and public networks divisions. Lee says of his new gig, quote, "This is a pivotal time in our industry and at Aspen. There is even more we can do to continue to grow and make aviation innovation affordably and usefully available to a broad set of customers. So I'm delighted and honored to have the opportunity to join the Aspen team to help realize this potential," unquote. He's also a multi-engine rated private pilot, by the way. Piper Aircraft has chosen Chuck W. Glass, a former U.S. Army senior officer and aviator, to be the company's new Director of International Flight Training and Fleet Programs. He comes to Piper from Diamond Aircraft, where he served in Beijing as Diamond's chief representative for China. Piper Executive VP Randy Groom said of Glass, quote, "His extensive experience in the Asian aviation market is a key asset that he brings to us as we address overseas markets," unquote. Glass is also a former president and CEO for the Beijing Pan Am International Aviation Academy in Beijing and senior VP, Career Pilot Division for Pan Am International Flight Academy. So, why Piper and why now? Glass commented, quote, "I'm impressed with Piper's products and the company's commitment to achieving new levels of quality, performance, and customer support. No other manufacturer has the depth in the market that Piper has, and I look forward to being part of the team that is making these initiatives a reality," unquote. Still ahead, Piper wants you involved in the Cherokee's golden anniversary. A compromise with the FAA keeps Lorain County Airport open. And a round-the-world gyroplane quest reaches a milestone. You're listening to Aero News.
Welcome to Cirrus Design. Maker of the world's best-selling personal aircraft, the sleek SR-22. Cirrus planes feature the latest technologies and are equipped with an exclusive, life-saving parachute system. It is our mission to make personal aviation safe, affordable, and convenient. At Cirrus, we offer a test drive like no one else in the business.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Friday, April 16th. I'm Paul Plack. Piper is inviting you and a passenger to participate in this year's celebration of the Piper Cherokee's 50th anniversary. The first PA-28 flew in 1960, and the line has spawned variants including the Warrior, Archer, Arrow, and Dakota. Participants in the Cherokee Heritage Journey get a stamp each time they attend a participating fly-in event across the country. And you have to fly a Cherokee. Stamps are collected in an official passport, and the pilot collecting the most will win a new Garmin GPS Map 696. The winning passenger will get $5,000 toward flight training in a new Piper Sport Light Sport aircraft. Get more details on the main page at piper.com. The Lorain County Airport in Ohio has survived an attempt by county officials to shut it down, but pilots using the facility may not like the compromise that's keeping it open. The Northern Ohio Morning Journal reports that the county had tried to shutter the facility, saying it was too expensive to maintain. But the FAA reminded local officials that the airport was required to stay open for 20 years after taking $9 million in grant money. A compromise will see the facility remain open, but charge landing fees totaling $150,000 a year to cover its costs. The three-member county commission unanimously agreed to the deal. And finally today, an update on Norman Surplus, who's attempting to become the first person to circumnavigate the globe in a gyroplane. On Tuesday, he crossed the 4,000-mile mark, electing to spend the day in Abu Dhabi for a little R&R for himself and routine maintenance for his MT-03 gyro and its Rotax 914 turbo, before continuing on to Oman. Norm has now crossed Europe and most of the Middle East. He's negotiated mountains, sea, and arid desert, and says he's found interest in offers of help wherever he's landed. And that turbocharger has come in handy. Weather and local bureaucracy have at times forced him to fly higher than is usual for a gyro. Norm's got in 14 flying days since leaving Larne in Ireland on March 22nd. When settled into the more typical low and slow flight regimen for this type of aircraft, Norm says he's been particularly impressed by the arid desert of the Egyptian interior, juxtaposed with the lush floodplains of the Nile River. Norm expects to reach North America this spring and hopes to time his crossing of the North Atlantic for summer. I'll plan to corner him with a microphone if he gets anywhere near northern Utah. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, Aircraft Electronics Association VP Rick Perry shares his expert perspective on the industry impact of next-gen ATC and how AEA is working to mitigate the burdens of the FAA's mandate for safety management systems. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your weekend and have a clear and unlimited day.